Welcome to the Financial Power Hour with the financial prosperity coach, Christopher Music, who has been a featured guest on CBS, NBC, ABC, and Fox affiliates, sharing his 20-plus years of experience in financial principles and how to apply them to your life and business. And now, your host, Christopher Music.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Christopher Music, the creator of the Private Practice Millionaire. And I want to thank you for taking time out today to listen to this incredible show that we have for you. You know, I've been a financial advisor for 25 years now, and the biggest challenge that we have is not making money. It's keeping the money that we make. It's very fascinating to me that we work our tails off, and yet we have all these challenges in retaining and having that money translate into the household where it can be spent on the most valued goals and dreams of you, the business owner, the professional practice owner, the worker. We're going to be talking today about financial power. Now, financial power is a concept I came up with to explain what it should look like when we have a household that is affluent. You know, every household in America should actually be affluent. The fact that it's not is like a 5-alarm fire to me. What is financial power? First of all, it is a household that is free of all debt. That's one of the first things we must handle is to get into the future with our lives, not into the past. And debt pulls us into the past like that. So get rid of all that debt and create a guaranteed lifetime income that we cannot outlive, like a pension plan. Because, you know, over the years, pensions have become our own responsibility. Of course, if you're a small business owner, have that business owner booming or have that business booming so that you can eventually transition out of it someday for value to somebody else. And this is where you create your own buyer and create your own value so that the services you provide the public can go on to the next generation. We have virtually all of our assets protected from loss. And today we're going to be talking about one of those assets, which is your income. Because, of course, one of the drains on our income is taxes. So we must be diligent about how we protect the assets that we have. And then finally, to free up time so you can pursue other valuable purposes and goals that you have. You know, it's very important that we as business owners don't get enslaved by our business, but find a way that we get more time and more freedom to move. Because all of you, I know, have purposes and goals and things you want to do that bring more societal value, more spiritual value to our lives. And if we're stuck in trying to make the almighty dollar, we tend to lose a lot of that passion. My special guest today is a tax management expert, Wes Mateka. And today he'll be talking about his book, Half, The Ultimate Guide to Cutting Your Taxes in Half, Guaranteed. But before we hear from Wes, I want to share some insight about the value of keeping more of what you make. People ask the question, how do I make more money? And that's the wrong question. The right question is, how do I create more value? You see, the amount of money you receive is merely a statistic or a metric of the value you provide in the marketplace. Well, let me be more accurate. The perceived value you provide in the marketplace. You see, money, monetary units, only represent the value of something, of a commodity or a service or a good. So if you want to earn more money, you earn it by creating more value. What is it that your customers want if you're a business owner, or your patients want if you're in the healthcare business? But if you're an employee, ask yourself, what does your boss want or your other coworkers want that you can provide that is more value? You see, that's the fundamental of economics. Now, it's interesting to me that when you deal with economics, we have to deal with something called taxation. Well, there's all kinds of taxes. You know, there's hundreds of kinds of taxes that are not really ever talked about. You know, they're just assumed: sales taxes and property taxes and excise taxes and so on. But one that gets all the heat It tends to be income tax. Now, why income tax? Well, income tax is a very funny type of tax because it is a surcharge on money earned. That's really all it is. If you earn a dollar, you owe tax on it. Period. That is unless you spend it in a way or earn it in a way that the taxing authorities bless as a preferred way to earn it. Then they will waive the surcharge. That's simply all income tax is. Interestingly enough, by my research, the first income tax we've had in our modern era of the history of planet Earth was from Lysander of Sparta, clear back in the ancient Greek culture. And even Plato had commented on the unjustness of income tax, where the fair-minded man will pay more than the unjust will. So, spiritually speaking, the income tax is antipathetic to us as human beings, because why in the world would anybody go out there and work hard to make a lot of income and then voluntarily say, yes, I will pay more surcharges on these dollars? We tend to want to say, I want to keep this money at home because I can do more with it. So now we end up being in a position where we can violate our own integrity. And that's not the way it should be. Of course not. But that's where we find ourselves. So how do we handle this problem of income tax? I think most people would suggest that I pay my fair share, whatever that is, but I would like to lower it. I think I could probably do a better job with that money than the government can. Well, it's probably true, probably very true. But how do we go about it? Worse, we have communications being made by people, opinions being forwarded that says, you know what, if you don't pay income tax, you're not patriotic, or you're not doing your fair share. Well, I wholeheartedly disagree with that point, because the law is designed to reward people who understand taxation and who understand how to keep that money at home. So if you're going to put forth the effort to retain the money that you've worked hard to earn, well, that's like a part-time job. You get to keep more of what you earned, and that should be rewarded. Again, in this society at this time, this is how it is. You know, it is divine, ethical, and virtuous to have and make a lot of money. It really is. Because you're creating much more value to the society in which you live. More exchange, more economic value for everyone. So it is also, in this regard, divine, ethical, and virtuous to reduce our taxes to a point where we can reinvest that money at home and do other things with it that promote the better elements of life for you, your family, your community, the people that you serve. So that's why I'm pretty passionate about the subject of income tax and the problem that we have with all this communication and opinion going around about it. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. And up next, we'll be talking with my very special guest, tax management expert, Wes Mateka. He's the author of the book Half, The Ultimate Guide to Cutting Taxes in Half, Guaranteed. And he'll be giving you his insight and research on the secrets to using the tax code to keep more of what you make. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back. If you're a business owner, ask yourself this question. Do you know how to avoid the common money mistakes slowing down operations and growth? Are you confident with great certainty that you're in control of all financial decisions? Are you running your business with the know-how to achieve financial prosperity? So what is financial prosperity, and how do you really know if you're there? Your first clue that you're not is spending more time dealing with financial worries than growing your business. I'm Christopher Music, and I have a solution for you. I have researched and codified 21 laws of financial prosperity for private practice owners from a study of 5,000 years of civilization. These laws have been found workable in all times and places, and they can be applied successfully today to help you achieve wealth and freedom. Go to 21prosperitylaws.com and download your free 21 Laws of Financial Prosperity Action Guide today. Do not wait. That's 21prosperitylaws.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Financial Power Hour with Christopher Music, online at pchristophermusic.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm your host, Christopher Music, and you're listening to the Financial Power Hour here on AM 1380, The Biz. Now, before the break, I shared with you about why it's okay to make a lot of money and how important it is for your own personal integrity to keep as much of your earnings as possible. Now, as promised, I'd like to introduce my guest expert, Mr. Wes Mateka. Wes owns Tax Vantage Consulting in Sarasota, Florida, where he and his wife enjoy time with their five children and four, soon to be six, grandchildren, and are active members in their church. Wes grew up as a son of a preacher, raised in a blue-collar working-class city in Wisconsin. He has worked with business owners most of his adult life and has seen the struggles and realities of trying to make a business survive and thrive, the crushing weight of taxes on successful Americans, and how much more private citizens can do to help others and their communities when they have the money to do so. Wes's book, titled Half, The Ultimate Guide to Cutting Taxes in Half, Guaranteed, cracks the tax code open so that people can use more of the money they earn to do more. More saving, more investing, more charitable giving, and more for their families and communities. I'm very pleased to welcome Wes Mateka. Wes, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, man. So as we get started out, getting a chance to talk to you, the first time we talked on the phone, he says, well, you know, I grew up and I'm a son of a preacher. I'm like, I am too. We sit there on the phone for about 2 minutes and just giggled.
So yeah, it's a secret society.
It really is. Okay, so let's start out by having you tell us more about yourself, how you got started in the tax business, and what about it makes you so passionate.
Yeah, I made the move into this business about 7 years ago after a long career actually in radio. So it's kind of fun today being back in a radio studio. And it really ended up doing this. What drives me about it is after all those years running radio station companies and working with all the business owners who advertise on them and meeting the people in the community when you do that for a living, who own businesses, and hearing their horror stories of how difficult it is to make a business work. People see business owners and think, oh, they've got it made. How lucky. I wish I were them. And they don't know the headaches and the struggles they're going through. And one of the biggest impacts on their cash flow every year is taxes.
Yeah.
And so when I got into this, it was really great. And what drives me, makes me so passionate about this, is seeing the really cool stuff that successful, hardworking, and I'm talking the most successful people in our community, can do with that money in our community. If we can help them cut what they're sending to Washington, D.C. by 30, 40, 50%, maybe more, and that money stay here, it is awesome because they hire more people and help people by doing that. They invest in real estate locally and grow the economy that way. They give abundantly to their local church or favorite charity. And those churches and charities do more to help the people here where we live and work than Washington, D.C. is doing with that money. So that really drives me to see them do this.
Yeah, that's awesome. And a very, obviously very needed service that you provide there. So obviously, you have a very unique take on tax planning that most CPAs, just by reading the title of your book, Half. Tell our audience, what makes your approach so different than the average CPA?
Yeah, keep in mind, not to disparage anyone's CPA. Got a great deal of respect for CPAs. They work really hard. They've worked hard to get the education, pass the exam, start their business.
Sure.
They work really hard as business owners, too. They face the same struggles that everyone else does. Mm-hmm. But what they're doing is, if you were to, you know, I always tell people, if you look them up in the yellow pages, they're listed under tax. They do tax work. They're tax preparers. They're listed under tax preparation. They're not listed under tax reduction. And so what I'm doing is looking at the tax code from a different perspective of how do we help people cut what they're paying in taxes? And I'm really doing it focused on a very specific audience, which most CPAs aren't working with. A lot of CPAs never work with a client in the economic level that I'm focused on.
So what would be the economic level that you focus on then?
Yeah, so I mean, really the two key categories of people are anyone who has a household income in any given year of over $500,000 a year, personal income, and it can be combined husband and wife, it can be all from one, it can be from a business, it can be from, you know, being a highly compensated executive or maybe a W-2 doctor at a hospital, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then also individuals who have accumulated wealth and are selling off assets. One of the big, the double whammy in the tax world is you've worked hard, you've invested that money, and now you go to sell the investment and you get taxed again with long-term capital gains tax. And we have some really powerful stuff that we do to eliminate that long-term capital gains tax for people who are selling assets other than securities in excess of $1 million.
Okay, so your household that makes $500,000 in income or has an asset to sell over $1 million.
Correct.
Okay, so that's how many people would qualify then in the United States?
Yeah, you know, it's a definitely a niche a market. It's, you know, you asked about the CPA and that market. Keep in mind, there are 660,000 CPAs in the United States.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Most people think, especially when they talk about making the wealthy pay their fair share, they think there's like this unlimited supply of wealthy people who we can go after and get enough money to pay for all these government programs that people want to have for free. There's no such thing as a free lunch. I was raised on that belief. There are only 865,000 households in America on average each year that file an income tax return with an AGI above $500,000. That's not a lot. It's not millions of people out there making millions of dollars a year. There are 865,000 households on average per year with an income over $500,000 a year. When you look at the 660,000 CPAs and the 865,000 households with that level of income, that right there will explain to you why most CPAs are not familiar with the types of strategies I'm bringing to the table for our clients, because they've never had a client in most cases. Most CPAs have never had a client. Just do the numbers. Mm-hmm. 660,000, 865,000. They've never had a client, or maybe they've had one or two clients with an income of at least $500,000 a year. So why would they invest the time, energy, and resources to know how to do these types of strategies that only work at those upper incomes? They wouldn't. They're busy preparing tax returns, hundreds and hundreds of tax returns every year.
Yeah, and one of the things that we do as my firm and my platform is making people millionaires. That's really a lot of what I do, primarily focused in the professional practice area, your dentist, your veterinarian, your chiropractor, and so on, who because I'm a private practice professional in the financial world, and I've done tons of research and figured out my own way in a lot of this stuff, and you know, realize that, you know, people aren't trained.
Yeah.
So we look to the CPA. We look to our financial advisor for this type of information.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned a couple of key categories there. You said chiropractors and dentists and so forth. You and I were talking before, as you mentioned, we're both preachers' kids. You make a good living now. You didn't come from a household that made the kind of money. Your dad is a preacher. I am certain did not make what you're making today.
No. Nope.
I'm well aware of that. We did not grow up in wealthy homes. Interestingly, MDs in our country, for the most part, are second, third, fourth generation MDs nowadays. Not many people become an MD whose parents and grandparents weren't MDs before them anymore in America. It's a very difficult thing to do. And so that's an interesting statistic. The other end of the spectrum is when we're talking about chiropractors and dentists, and in most cases, they are the first person in their family to have ever graduated college, let alone become a medical professional. Hmm. So, well, the MD that's new, a new MD is starting out in a very well compensated business industry. They're growing up second, third generation. They've been built in, they've had this team of professionals built into their life that help you deal with making that kind of money. The dentist and the chiropractor has not. And in a lot of cases, they're still using the same CPA that they used when they were in college and when they got out of school and when they first started their practice. And now you've showed them how to make more money. They're no longer making $100,000 or $150,000 and think they're doing well. They're making $400,000, $500,000, $700,000 a year, and they are doing well, but they're making a lot of financial mistakes, one of which is overpaying their taxes. But they're making enough money that they don't realize that they're making mistakes. And that's our job, is to fix that.
I've been there. I totally understand that point of view. You know, and just to put an exclamation point on that, you know, we're in my office, we're running a pilot on some tax reduction strategies that we've been working out for the mid-career doctor, not necessarily the ones making the income that you're talking about. But, you know, there's a tremendous amount of opportunity there. And we have found, just with 5 to 7 strategies that we have found, most CPAs just are overlooking or not taking advantage of, or saving an average of about $20,000 a year for, you know, your average healthcare professional who is mid-career. So I find it to be a tremendous opportunity for some of that wealth to come back home.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, you and I talked off the air about those, and those are great strategies. And like you said, they'll save a lot of these professionals $20,000, $25,000 a year, which is great. That's real money.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're doing the things I'm doing are taking their AGI, which is that top line on your tax return, folks, your adjusted gross income. And then after that, you put in your itemized deductions and you get the taxable income number. And that's the number that the government takes a chunk of. Well, what we're going to do is make sure that the taxable income number is at least half, maybe less than it would be without the strategies we put in place. So instead of getting taxed on the bulk of your AGI, you're getting taxed on a small percentage of your AGI.
Well, that leads us into our question here before the break. Can you tell us what a typical savings your clients would get after implementing some of your strategies?
Yeah, it ranges from tens of thousands to literally hundreds of thousands of dollars per year, every year that they continue to earn that kind of income. You know, at the $500,000 a year mark, we might be talking about a, you know, $35,000 to $65,000 a year reduction in taxes. If we're talking, you know, above $1 million, that number grows to six figures and beyond. But I look at it this way. Look at what the difference is for a medical professional. How much more billing would a dentist have to generate? A dentist that's worked really hard to go from the $250,000 a year income to the $500,000 income, how much more would they have to generate to take home an extra $60,000 a year? They don't have to increase their revenue by $60,000. They have to increase their revenue enough to increase their profit, because mm-hmm. you know they're probably running at a 13 to 18% profit margin. So they've got to generate a couple $100,000 of additional revenue every year to generate enough extra profit to bring home after taxes an mm-hmm. extra 60. Because remember, even if they generate an extra $100,000 profit, they're only bringing home an extra 60,000. So to generate $60,000 additional take home would take an insurmountable amount of work. Whereas the other thing they could do is just call and talk to my firm and let us do some of these things for them and automatically start taking home an extra $60,000 a year.
I think that's one of the major points that most of our business owners don't really understand is that, first of all, the power of an income tax savings, that's a tax-free savings that stays at the home. And that if you just spend a little bit of time, maybe with a dictionary, maybe with someone who's written some good information from the tax code, to understand some of these basic strategies and figure out how to implement them in your life, document them, understand them so that you can defend them in an audit or if they're ever challenged. That part-time job of maybe, I don't know, a couple hours a month would provide benefits, economic benefits that could be in the thousands of dollars a year to any household, anybody who would be motivated enough to create that kind of part-time job. I found when I started researching it all out.
And here's the great part. The time taken by the client to do the things that my firm does, it might take them 2 hours a year, and yeah. they're taking home $60,000, $100,000, $200,000 a year more just by spending a couple hours each year with us and letting us do what we do.
Tremendous. Tremendous. Well, all right. Well, it's time for a weather and traffic update. And when we come back, we're going to continue to talk with author and tax management expert Wes Mateka, and we'll ask him more questions about how to cut your tax bill in half. You're definitely not going to want to miss it, and I think at the end he's going to have a special offer for you, so you want to come up and make sure you make this next section. Stay tuned for weather and traffic up next. Why do we go into business for ourselves? What's the payoff of hard work and self-sacrifice? Hopefully you've answered by saying your dream was to be debt-free and financially wealthy. If not, then something is missing. It's been said that you can't manage what you can't measure, and that's certainly true in business and in your financial life. I'm Christopher Music, and I want to invite you to an online video called The 17 Statistical Measurements of the Private Practice Millionaire. Learn how to define financial power and how to correctly and objectively measure when it is achieved. Why using current mainstream metrics are incomplete, creating an appearance of financial success while actually creating financial duress. and how mastering the ability to measure financial success will help you stay in control so that you can achieve financial power. Visit financialpowerstatistics.com and watch the 17 statistical measurements of the Private Practice Millionaire video. That's financialpowerstatistics.com.
This is the Financial Power Hour with Prosperity Coach Christopher Music. Make contact at 727-588-1540. And now, here's Christopher Music.
Okay, folks, we're back and we're listening to the Financial Power Hour here on AM 1380, The Biz. I'm your host, Christopher Music, the creator of the Private Practice Millionaire. And we're talking with author and tax consultant Wes Mateka on cutting your tax bill in half. Wes, thanks again for being here.
Oh, thanks again for having me. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. So, last segment, we started talking about saving taxes and, these different strategies. And I guess the question comes up now is, so why is it that people don't use their own CPA to figure out how to cut taxes and do tax planning?
Yeah, their CPA, as we talked about in the earlier segment a little bit, their CPA is a tax preparation expert. They are there to make sure that their tax return gets filed properly and on time, that it has the documentation behind it, and will stand up to an audit if it gets audited. Their job is not to reduce what the client pays in taxes. In fact, one of the favorite things I hear it all the time, and I've gotten to the point where I've heard it so many times I kind of laugh, and I shouldn't probably when people come to me, but they'll come to me and they'll say, hey, I've been going to my CPA every quarter when I have to fill out, when I have to pay my quarterly estimated payments. Every year when I have to file my tax return, I say to my CPA, there's got to be something you could be doing to reduce what I'm paying in taxes. And my CPA looks at me and says, you should be happy you're making enough money to have to pay that much in taxes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hear it from people all the time. CPAs actually say this to their clients because that's the mentality. The fact of the matter is, it's not their fault that they're saying that. They just aren't exposed to these types of strategies. These strategies are for that, not even 1%, but half of 1% of Americans who have the income to take advantage of these and then do great things with that tax savings. But the reason not every CPA is doing it is because most CPAs don't have a client that qualifies for it.
Yeah. And even those that do, there's a big difference. I tell my clients, there's a big difference between tax preparation accountants and tax planning accountants. That really look forward 3 to 5 years and start to structure different things. So you find someone like that, they're worth a gold mine.
Yeah,
because they're very rare.
Exactly.
In my experience. Okay. So let's say, for example, a client comes to you and says, you know what, let's go ahead and do some of these strategies. And then they go back to their CPA because, that's the opinion that they trust the most.
Absolutely.
And what's the typical reaction when that occurs?
So it is the opinion they trust the most. Research shows that most successful individuals view their CPA as their number one most trusted advisor. People trust their CPA more than they do their pastor, which is, unfortunate, but it's reality. I mean, survey after survey shows this. CPAs are very respected and trusted by their clients.
Yeah.
And so we have to have the CPAs buy-in because I'm not taking over doing their tax returns. I don't do that. I need the CPAs buy-in. So I like to have the CPA involved from the beginning with the client. Mm-hmm. I like the first time I sit down with a client, if not the first time, absolutely the second time that I talk with a client, have the CPA on the call and be able to explain to the CPA what it is we're doing, where it's at in the tax code, how this is going to impact the client, and why it's not going to result in an audit, or certainly not a negative audit. Being audited isn't the end of the world. Having a negative audit is. So I want to be able to sit down with the CPA and explain that to them in depth from the beginning so they have buy-in. One of two things is going to happen when we do that. Either the CPA is going to go, oh, yeah, I get it. Yeah, this makes total sense. I see where that's at. Wow, this is cool. In fact, I've got a couple other people that I'd like to approach and bring to the table for you because they'd benefit from this too. That's one reaction. Mm-hmm. Then there's the other reaction because I will tell you most CPAs, their initial reaction is, and it's the way they're wired, is, oh, no, you can't do this. If they're talking about cutting your taxes, that's got to be bad. This is probably a scam. This is probably, going to get you in trouble. It's going to raise the red flag, blah, blah. It's not. It's in the tax code. It's legitimate. We not only guarantee the savings that we find for a client, we also guarantee against audit that if our clients are ever audited and it ends in a negative audit as a result of the strategies we put on their tax, we brought to the table for their tax return, we pay the penalties and interest. So they're not out anything. I mean, it's a no brainer. They get the tax savings and they don't have to worry about ever paying penalties and interest from it. Some CPAs will, in spite of all of that, still look at you and say, nope, I'm not familiar with this. This isn't what I do. I've never done this before. And so I'm not going to do it. So if you want to do this, Mr. Client, go find a new CPA. Well, now the client has to decide, do I continue to overpay my taxes by tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars a year so that my CPA is comfortable? Which, wow, you must really love your CPA if you're willing to do that. Or do I say, hey, can I talk to a CPA who is familiar with this and consider switching CPAs so that I can take advantage of this? That happens sometimes.
Sure.
I don't like when that happens. I don't like seeing a CPA lose a client, but some CPAs just don't want to do it.
Well, yeah. And there's all kinds of different personalities out there. One thing I found with this tax area, and I have talked to hundreds of CPAs, dozens of tax planners or tax strategists, and some of them do fine and some of them end up in jail and doing all these different types of strategies that they say, oh yeah, they're perfectly vetted, and then they end up not being. And of course the CPA would get egg on their face if they recommended that. So of course that caution is very well placed. To protect the client, of course. Yeah. I think we want to be protected.
I had a client just recently, a client up in Michigan, and we met several times, and the CPA and I met privately twice for like 45 minutes each about everything, and the CPA seemed totally on board. And at the end, the client said, so basically what you're telling me is I have to either write, I mean, we're on the three of us are on the phone, the client says to the CPA, so Mr. CPA, what you're telling me is I either have to write a $165,000 check by September 15th for my estimated tax payment to get caught up for this year, or I can write a $100,000 check and do all the things that Wes is talking about, that Tax Advantage Consulting is talking about, and achieve the same thing. Why wouldn't I write the smaller check? And the CPA said, look, there's not anything wrong in the tax code with what he's telling you to do. I can't find any fault in it. I'm just telling you, I'm old and I'm conservative and I'm not comfortable doing anything different, but it's your call.
Yeah.
And I kind of found it interesting. This is a black and white world. He flat out said, there's nothing in the tax code that prevents you from doing what they're recommending, but I'm not comfortable.
And that's really where all this tax planning comes down is what is in the code and what isn't.
Yeah.
And that really, I think people have a hard time confronting the code. I mean, thousands and thousands of pages, doublespeak, all this nonsense. But it takes someone who has a high confront to be able to go into the tax code and say, this is what the law actually says. This is what we can do with it. And that's a very rare thing.
Yeah. You and I are both preachers, kids. Yeah. We've mentioned that a couple of times. Do you know anyone that can recite the Bible cover to cover?
No.
Okay. I don't either. And I've been around the church thing for a long time and never met anyone. The tax code is 7 or 8 times longer than the Bible.
Yeah.
And yet to think that there are CPAs who think they know everything there is to know in it. Come on, that's hubris.
Exactly. And which leads us to the next question I wanted to ask you. You're trying to help clients with tax savings. One of the main things I hear is that, I heard it's a red flag and I don't want to throw up a red flag or it's an audit risk or these types of reactions. What would you say to that?
Sure. It's not the tax deductions you're taking that raise a red flag. It's your income. The old adage, why do you rob banks? Because that's where the money's at.
Right.
guess who the IRS audits? People who make a lot of money and people who have businesses. Why? Because that's where the money's at. It doesn't make any sense to go audit the W-2 wage earner making $45,000 a year. They don't have any deductions that they can take anyways. Right. They're not paying a lot of money in the big scheme of things. That's a lot of money to them, but it's not a lot of money in the big scheme of things for the IRS to go after them on an audit. Now, if you're making $2.5 million a year and have 6 business entities and all sorts of financial dealings, there's a lot of meat on the bone for an aggressive auditor to go in and try and figure out what you've done wrong. What didn't you document properly? Where can we get an extra $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 out of this already overtaxed individual because of what they're making? Your likelihood of getting taxed goes up the more money you make. That's the number one biggest determining factor as to whether you'll be audited or not is not the deductions you take. It's how much money you make.
Very interesting. Misconception. Big misconception.
Somebody making $500,000 a year is five times more likely to be audited than somebody making $100,000 a year.
That's what I tell my clients too. I'm like, you're going to get audited just at some point. Just, you know, make your peace with it now and go and
stop
do the best
doing,
you can.
Stop doing a bunch of little rinky-dink stuff to try and save $1,000 here, $500 there, and do stuff that's being done with a wink and a nod between you and your CPA on your tax return or fudging a number a little bit here or there. Don't do that stuff to save some little money. Take advantage of these really rock-solid big things. Wipe out half of your income or 60% or 70% of your AGI from being taxable income. And don't bother with the little stuff, because it's the little stuff that they're going to catch you on.
Exactly. And when we come back from our break, we're going to get into a couple of these strategies. So we're going to be talking with Wes after the break, and you're not going to want to miss these strategies. Stay tuned. If you're a business owner, ask yourself this question. Do you know how to avoid the common money mistakes slowing down operations and growth? Are you confident with great certainty that you're in control of all financial decisions? Are you running your business with the know-how to achieve financial prosperity? So what is financial prosperity, and how do you really know if you're there? Your first clue that you're not is spending more time dealing with financial worries than growing your business. I'm Christopher Music, and I have a solution for you. I have researched and codified 21 laws of financial prosperity for private practice owners from a study of 5,000 years of civilization. These laws have been found workable in all times and places, and they can be applied successfully today to help you achieve wealth and freedom. Go to 21prosperitylaws.com and download your free 21 Laws of Financial Prosperity Action Guide today. Do not wait. That's 21prosperitylaws.com.
Welcome back to the Financial Power Hour with Christopher Music, online at pchristophermusic.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm your host, Christopher Music, the creator of the Private Practice Millionaire, and you're listening to the Financial Power Hour here on AM 1380, The Biz. I have my rock star guest expert today, Wes Mateka, and he's talking about killer tax strategies. So, Wes.
Yes.
The moment of truth. Kind of advice do you give people who make money?
First thing is have a consultant like TaxVantage Consulting that is working full-time for you to reduce what you pay in taxes, not somebody who's just working full-time to prepare your taxes. Okay. There's individuals like yourself who help people earn more money. There's people who prepare your tax returns. Ask yourself, who on my team is looking at full-time, totally focused on bringing to the table the strategies that are going to reduce what I pay in taxes? Because keeping more of your money is the first step into financial freedom.
Absolutely.
That allows you to do so much more. So once we do that, once they contact us, we do a initial consultation. In fact, for your listeners, we're going to do a free initial consultation with everybody where we literally sit down on the phone with them, ask them some questions, go through, look at their existing financial situation. What are they making this year? What are they paying in taxes? What kind of deductions have they been taking? And then put together a written plan for them of strategies we can implement that will reduce what they pay in taxes by, like we said earlier, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars per year. And they're going to be things, it's always fun to get on a call with somebody and have a CPA say, look, you can't bring anything to the table that I don't know about. And actually start going through the strategies and all of a sudden have a CPA go, hold on, back up. I've never heard of that one. And that's just it. There's stuff out there that they don't know about. So we do. I mean, there are things that you can do if you own real estate. We can do things like cost segregation studies, which basically is accelerated depreciation of somebody's real estate. And that's something most people know about. But again, a lot of CPAs don't know how to get it done.
Okay. So explain what that is for listeners out there. What is cost segregation for real estate? Give me an example of that.
Cost segregation for real estate. You've gone out and you've bought a $1 million commercial building, and you're leasing it out to tenants, and it's a side revenue for you. And you take that and you tell your CPA about it. And your CPA says, well, standard depreciation of a building is 39 years. So a million divided by 39, that's going to be your deduction for the next 39 years. You're going to get that nice little deduction on your income, which is, by the way, how real estate moguls don't pay any taxes, is because they have so much real estate that they're depreciating. They're getting that big depreciation deduction,
sure,
which is offsets their income. Mm-hmm. In case people were wondering how really wealthy real estate, I don't know who I'm talking about. They're really wealthy real estate people who might be running for president, don't pay taxes. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot of depreciation. The tax code's written very favorably for people who own real estate. What we do is we send in a team of accountants who go in and literally inventory the entire building, because guess what? The entire building is not going to still be there in 39 years. Mm-hmm. The carpet's going to have to be replaced in 7. The roof's going to have to be replaced in 20. The heating and air conditioning system's going to have to be replaced in 15. The lights are going to have to, et cetera. And they inventory literally every nut and bolt, carpet, window, door, everything in the building. And they have a list that tells them the life expectancy and value of each of those items. They go, wow, well, the whole building's worth $1 million. But the whole building isn't going to be there in 39 years. The cinder blocks are going to be there in 39 years. The concrete foundation is going to be there in 39 years. But everything else is going to be replaced sometime between now and then.
Right.
So we accelerate that. And oftentimes what happens is the first year, say they bought that building 7 years ago, they've been taking standard depreciation, and we add up all the stuff that's really depreciated at a much faster rate than 39 years. And all of a sudden we've got a huge deduction that may allow that person to not pay any income taxes the first year or two they're a client, because of the deduction that they're catching up on the missed deduction from the years that they've owned that building and not been depreciating the individual items in it. So that's one thing. But most CPAs know about that. Mm-hmm. A lot of CPAs have never done it because they don't have the resources, once again. And it's just easier to go divide by 39 and put it on.
That'll work.
We're going to look at a more advanced level, things like and I want to get into the nuts and bolts of this because we're limited on time, but like captive insurance plans, things like that that are out there and available. And anyone could call and ask me about that, after the show. We're going to give out my contact information here. But there are a couple of things that people probably don't know. If you own a business, the likelihood is very high that you qualify for R&D tax credits.
What's that?
Research and development tax credits. Now, a tax credit's different than a deduction. A tax credit's worth a lot more because a credit's dollar for dollar. And most people hear R&D tax credits and they think, Apple computers and the big drug companies and stuff, because they think tech and pharmaceutical, because
sure,
that's where research and development's done. The fact of the matter is most small business owners do have to do research and development to continue to bring products and services to the table for their clients.
No doubt.
And those activities you get a credit for those. And we can actually go back 3 years and reclaim the ones that you haven't taken the last 3 years and get a check back from the government.
Wow.
For taxes that you paid in the past with that one. We make use of conservation easement tax deductions, which, by the way, you don't have to own one stitch of land to be able to participate in conservation easement tax deductions. And we line people up with people who do have the land and are getting the deduction. And we allow our clients to participate in the real estate development opportunity that results in very large tax deductions for our clients. In fact, we can use that deduction for anyone with an income over $500,000 a year to immediately wipe out the top 50% of their AGI from being taxable income.
Okay, so define the confirmation easement real quick.
Conservation easement. Conservation, yeah. It's not Catholic. It's not confirmation. it's conservation. And it's basically preserving land that is in the pathway for development. If you've lived in the Tampa, St. Pete, Sarasota, Manatee area for any length of time, I happen to live in Lakewood Ranch. Lakewood Ranch is a great example of this. Lakewood Ranch, when I was raising my family in Sarasota, was in the middle of nowhere. And when they talked about they were going to start building houses out on the other side of the interstate, people said, who in the world would live out there? It's farmland. It's cows. It's nothing. And now Lakewood Ranch is a whole new city, with multiple grocery stores and post office and neighborhoods and schools and fire departments and everything out there. Well, it used to be 15, 20 years ago was nothing. Not even that long ago. And now it is. Well, if you have land like that that used to be in the middle of nowhere and is now being developed all around it, and you as a farmer don't want to develop your land, the federal government gives those landowners a huge, huge tax deduction for placing a permanent easement on their land that prevents it from ever being developed like all the land around it is being developed. They can still farm it. They can still have cows on it. They can still do that. But they can never put a road on it. They can never put a house on it. They can't put any type of building on it. It will stay green forever, creating permanent green space in our country, which the government's been in the business of doing since Teddy Roosevelt and the formation of the national parks. So the government wants to create these green spaces. Mm-hmm. Communities want these permanent green spaces. It's nice to have that little rolling farmland in the middle of the area you live, rather than it being a concrete jungle. Mm-hmm. So everyone wants to do this, but economically making it work is a tightrope walk. So we've got to, we put all the pieces together so that the landowner can afford to give up the right to develop their land, and other people can make that possible for them, and in doing so, participate in the economic benefit that the government creates for doing so.
Wow. Those are strategies you don't really typically hear about.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Okay, good. So what kind of offer might you have for our listeners today, and how can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, great question. First of all, my email address is real easy. My first name is Wes, W-E-S, at the company name, Tax Vantage Consulting, T-A-X-V-A-N-T-A-G-E consulting.com. Wes at taxvantageconsulting.com. That is my personal email address, and I answer all my emails. You can reach me directly that way. You can also call our offices at 941-548-4466. Anyone who calls in and says they heard, or emails and says they heard us on the show talking, heard us talking today, I'm going to not only do a consultation with them and walk through and look at what we can do, how much we can guarantee them in savings, but I'm also going to send them a free copy of my book and put them on our mailing list for our newsletter that really deals directly with information aimed at helping people with those higher incomes that we've talked about.
Wonderful. And the name of the book again is Half, The Ultimate Guide to Cutting Your Taxes in Half Guaranteed.
I love that guaranteed word, by the way.
I do too, I like, man. That's a fascinating word to put on a tax book.
I love being able to say that, because that nobody's financial advisor can guarantee them anything.
True.
Their CPA can't guarantee them anything.
Oh, that's funny.
And I get to guarantee that we can cut your taxes and guarantee against any penalties or interest in the event of an audit. That's how confident we are in what we do.
Strong. Very strong. Wes, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Hey, Christopher. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, dude, you're a rock star.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it. All right. Well, folks, you know, when it comes to taxes, when it comes to being successful in your business and so on, it only ever happens if you take action. You know, so I recommend that if you hear us today and you are a person who has a high income, $500,000 in household income or more, give Wes's office a call. See how he might be able to help you. I am quite sure that there's something that will help you achieve this higher level of financial abundance and power in your household and in your life. You know, the financial position you find yourself in today is your indicator on how well you have understood and applied 21 Laws of Prosperity. And I've created a download that you can go take on my website at www.pchristophermusic.com. That's pchristophermusic.com. And it's the 21 Laws of Prosperity for Private Practice Professionals. That's who I tend to work with the most. But if you're a small business owner, and even if you work for somebody, go online and download that action guide. It is 21 laws that have always been true since the dawn of time. They will help you. You just do one little action at a time, and you will find your financial condition, no matter what it is today, improved with every step with those basic laws. Those are the truths that have always been there. So I also invite you to go to www.financialpowerhour.com. There you will see a list of past episodes of this show where we have interviewed all kinds of experts from all kinds of different fields, all designed to help you have a wonderful financial experience. And check me out on social media. I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. I have a YouTube channel. Please check that out. And I hope you enjoy the show. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Financial Power Hour. For more information on prosperity principles and how to apply them to your life and your business, visit Christopher's personal website at pchristophermusic.com or connect with him on Facebook at facebook.com/pchristophermusicauthor. You may also call Christopher's office at 727-588-1540 to request more information or arrange for him to be a guest speaker at your next event. That's 727-588-1540 or visit pchristophermusic.com.